today, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to the 552nd edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. Uglum, find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Ross, how the heck are you, man? Any updates on your life for us?
I'm good, man. Getting ready to go down and see my folks. I usually take this week every year. It's the Waste Management Open down in Phoenix. They are snowbirds now, so they hang out in the warm country. And go down there and really like to take the time to just chill. And I know it sounds nuts because it's freezing here and it's warm there. And I get more prospect watching in down in AZ during this week of the Super Bowl / Waste Management Open than almost any other week. And sometimes, you know, I get the opportunity to hang out and do it by the pool, but sometimes it's just in the office down there in Arizona as well. But it's nice to just get away, you know, work out, play a little golf in the morning, and then just grind tape, man.
Dude, that's you're speaking music to my ears. There's something sacred about not having much going on and just having a list of prospects in front of you and just being able to just shred through those. So that sounds awesome. I'm jealous. Unfortunately, I have to work this week. So, and always, you know, so it's always tough to find time to do that. But that sounds incredible, man. Happy for you. But speaking of, you know, grinding film, we are going to talk today about the ultimate film grinders in Green Bay. We're going to talk about the front office in Green Bay. And we're kind of, Ross and I are kind of kicking off a year in review, I suppose you could call it, for the Green Bay Packers. Throughout this week, people are going to be breaking down positions, players, things like that. And there's really no better way to start than talking about the guys in the front office for the Green Bay Packers and just what they were able to do in this 2019 season. You know, I said it on Twitter, and I think this sentiment was shared with a lot of Packers fans. Obviously, the season did not end how we all would have hoped, and, you know, the storybook ending just wasn't there. But as far as just sheer entertainment value, this was a really, really fun season. And you kind of think about how everything was so new with this group. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, you know, Aaron Rodgers' first few years as a starter. Because when you break it down, you have a new GM in Gutekunst. You have a new head coach in Matt LaFleur. And some of, you know, especially Matt LaFleur, he was criticized when he was hired. And as a Packers fan, you want your guys to work out, and you can kind of remember back to when Aaron Rodgers started. And these wins just, they meant a little bit more to kind of prove the naysayers and the haters wrong that, you know, the Packers went out and got a good one in Matt LaFleur. And I think, you know, year one in the books, it's pretty easy to say things are looking good for the Green Bay Packers moving forward. But Ross, before we dive into this stuff, we're going to talk mostly about, you know, the talent evaluators in Green Bay. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Mark Murphy and what he was able to do with this team. And I don't know why necessarily, but Mark Murphy just is not a guy that gets a lot of love from Packers fans for whatever reason. But you look at what he did this offseason, and he was the driving force with bringing in Matt LaFleur. It was a controversial hire at the time, to an extent. Some people criticized that they didn't do their due diligence, that they should have brought him in for a second interview. You know, I can't believe they didn't hire, you know, Josh McDaniel was the hot name, and they go with this young, unknown, relatively unknown guy named Matt LaFleur out of Tennessee. You know, he spoke big time about, you know, knocking down the silos with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst having to report to him. People, you know, we're nervous about that. It was new. It was unexpected, unprecedented. So it's interesting to see in his first year. I mean, he seems like he did everything right. And Ross, I don't know if you have any thoughts about Mark Murphy and kind of what he did this offseason, but if you want to pay Mark Murphy any respect.
Yeah, you know, I think with Mark Murphy, a lot of the time that, you know, a program spends losing – people are going to try and find scapegoats, and Murphy's an easy one. You know, he's kind of a goofball. I don't think he's incredibly media savvy. He's kind of like everyone's dad, or maybe even everyone's grandpa, depending on your age range or age group. And he's just not very cool, if you will. You know, he doesn't have the cool factor, certainly doesn't have the cool factor that LaFleur does, and certainly probably doesn't even have the cool factor that that Goody does. And he's definitely from a different generation than both of those two. And what I think a lot of folks saw was maybe not a football expert that was going to get himself into, you know, football operations. Obviously, if he is, you know, the guy that everyone answers to, he's going to have to make football related decisions. And a lot of the times too, I think people saw him as a guy that was, you know, doing the whatever, was doing the Sledding Hill or Titletown District or whatever. And and that's the classic thing, right? So like when Aaron Rodgers isn't playing great, oh, you should stop dating movie stars. You should stop doing commercials, this, that, and the other. God damn, Mark Murphy should quit focusing on Sledding Hills and build a better, you know, football program, et cetera, et cetera. And that kind of thing really does just sort of snowball from the fans' perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you're right. You know, you get caught up in, he's just a business guy. No, I think he's just a really smart guy who's, you know, proficient in the area of business and kind of bringing the Packers into, you know, this new era of football. He's done a fantastic job with that. And now it looks like he's, so far, with really the only football decision he probably really has and had to make, it, so far, early returns have been about, you know, outside of winning a Super Bowl.
And it's not like the guy is just some schmuck or some businessman. I mean, he led the league in interceptions in 1983 when he was with Washington. Like, he is a football player. He was, you know, a FBS, or I guess he was an FCS athletic director from 1992 to 2003, and then he was the AD at Northwestern from 03 to 07. But this is it's not like this guy, you know, doesn't understand what cover two is or doesn't, you know, have any inclination as to what does or does not make a good coach, what does or does not make a good personnel man. You know, he gets it. He has at least some qualifications.
Yeah. And we'll talk about Matt LaFleur here in just a second, but really a businessman is the guy looking for someone to run this team as a CEO more than anything. And that's kind of what Matt LaFleur did as well. So hats off to Mark Murphy so far. You know, things are looking good for him right now. That can certainly change this time next year. But that's kind of the life of, you know, someone in that position anyways. But you would be remiss to not give him credit for what the 2019 Packers were to do. So hats off to you, Mark Murphy. Thank you for the incredible season. Moving on to the guy now that's been there for, this will be his third offseason in Green Bay. And he looks like he's off and running and building something special. And that is Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, kind of the guy that calls the shots in the executive department. One thing, and I caught some flack from Niners fans because I compared Brian Gutekunst to John Lynch and just really don't understand when you put their resumes right next to each other. I just don't think anyone in the NFL quite stacks up to what Goody was able to do this offseason. You can say that's me being a homer, but honestly, throw me anybody's resume and I don't see it. I think John Lynch kind of won an award that was cumulative for the last few years. But if the award is supposed to be just 2019, it's tough. And I'm going to this is just kind of the resume that I compiled. This does not include Alan Lazard, because if you remember, they picked him up late in the 2018 season. But Brian Gutekunst, his offseason resume, I'm going to put an asterisk by this one, but I'm going to say he had a part in the hiring of Matt LaFleur. Mark Murphy was a guy that pulled the trigger on that, but I certainly do not think they would have hired Matt LaFleur without positive input from Brian Gutekunst. And so that's a home run right there. But then you look at what he did in free agency. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner. All of those guys were significant contributors. Za'Darius Smith should have been an all-pro. Preston Smith was the perfect complement for him. Adrian Amos really short up the back end. And then Billy Turner is what some people would call the weak link in that free agent class and the weak link of the Packers offensive line. And what's interesting to me about that, Ross, and I know you'll agree with this, is Billy Turner was an average to above average guard in the NFL. That is the going rate for a player of that caliber. And if Billy Turner is playing at that level and he's your weak link in your offensive line, then your offensive line is pretty damn good. So that's something that I think he came in and made a strength immediately, you know, going last year to this year is 2 years combined. But then you talk about his 2019 draft class. Really the only blemish I would say from 2019 is the Rashawn Gary pick, which still has the potential to pan out to be fantastic. But out of that crop already, he has two teams that made the Pro Football Writers Association all-pro team, all-rookie team, excuse me, and that's Elgton Jenkins and Darnell Savage. If you get guys that hit that early, that's a prestigious award. That means you are one of the best players at your position from a young age. So that's great. You get two guys right there. You talk about Rashawn Gary, the potential. You talk about Jay Sternberger. You talk about Kingsley Keke. I mean, this could potentially be a very, very good draft class. And then, Ross, you talk about the waiver wire additions in season. Jared Valdir, unbelievable. You know, do they even win that playoff game without him? That's a good question. I don't know. You didn't hear his name in the Seattle game at all, which was fantastic. And then Tyler Irvin, who came in halfway through the year, this Packers return unit was historically bad, on pace to be historically bad, meaning in the 100th year of the NFL, they were on pace to be the very worst. And then Tyler Irvin came in and did some really special stuff down the stretch. So that's Goody's resume from this offseason. That's his second year in charge. Ross, what are your thoughts on Goody and what he's been able to do in his 2 years and what you can expect from this team moving forward? He's just done a good job
of kind of taking what Ted gave him, which was a pretty mediocre roster, but not one that was that they were like tanked into. If you're understanding what's like, Ted, for all of his faults, was excellent in making sure that, you know, they were never really tied into anything too incredibly stupid. He was able to get pretty much out of the Nick Perry situation. He was able to, you know, make sure that most of the deals were palatable and reasonable. And so Gutekunst was handed this thing that was imperfect, certainly, and still isn't perfect, but was given the flexibility financially to be able to go out and go kind of bonkers in free agency and do a lot of stuff that Ted certainly wouldn't have done. But you know what? I mean, this is what the constant phrase that's always thrown around, or the term, is window. And we are in the closing phase of Aaron Rodgers' window, whether you view that as until he's, you know, at the end of this contract, whether you view it until he's 40, whether you view it until he's, you know, 41, which is like the last good Brady season. This thing is closing either way. And so Ted Thompson left Goody with the ability to do well, and he did. I think everybody knows, you know, you talk about Rashawn Gary, and everybody knows what I would have done there, which is Brian Burns. But other than that, you really have a hard time arguing with a whole lot, especially, you know, you look at some of the things that he's been talked about doing this year, and it all makes a ton of sense. Or, you know, he's like, hey, Kenny Clark's a huge priority. Blake Martinez isn't. And he's not saying those things out loud or not certainly being that blunt. But if you read between the lines, this is a guy that gets modern football. He understands modern football, and he's just kind of the evolution. He's spicy Ted, and I'm really impressed with him.
Yeah, and looking forward and kind of, you know, that triggers in my head going back to his press conference. And he did, you know, in a way, exactly what you just said, talked about exploring options from the inside linebacker position. And when you look at what people, you know, are starting to say Blake is going to make in that 12 to 14 million a year range, if that doesn't make you throw up in your mouth a little bit, I don't know what would, because he's not coming back to Green Bay for that price tag. So that's interesting that he said that. And what's, you know, so going ahead and moving forward, you know, this isn't a fix the Packers this offseason podcast. That's not what we're doing here this episode. But just what type of flexibility and what type of aggressiveness would you expect to see from Goody this offseason as opposed to last offseason? Should we be in store for another kind of crazy spending spree or free agency, or do you think that's going to
taper off? No, I don't think so. And, you know, that's something that Gutekunst basically said. Like, they have flexibility, certainly. Releases of Jimmy Graham and Lane Taylor should end up having, you know, after that Rodgers little baby restructure there, they should end up with like 45 million of cap space, probably 30, 31, 32, 33 of that is usable after some of the adjustments that are going to have to be made for bringing back exclusive rights free agents and extending Kenny Clark and signing the draft class and et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean they can't do anything. You know, you can certainly, boy, they have a ton of space in 21. A ton of space in 22. It was kind of a Ted Thompson thing not to kick the can down the street, but if they want to, they can definitely kick the can down the street. I mean, that absolutely can happen. And this Packers team is, I think, close. And I believe that they're going to get things done, but probably in a little bit more reserved manner. I don't think you're going to certainly see like what would be go out and get Amari Cooper and AJ Green. I mean, that would kind of be like the Preston and Zadarius Smith signing. I think that it would about break the internet, but I just don't think you're going to see three guys at the very top of their position group as hole fillers for Green Bay. I think, maybe you see like a veteran tight end, a veteran linebacker, and maybe they splash at receiver with a Green or a Cooper or a Sanders or whatever.
Yeah, and I think we're in lockstep on that. I think if we see any type of splash move, it's going to be one. You know, and I think you're right with looking at, they're going to be kind of back to the bargain bin where maybe you're looking at, you know, if AJ Green wants to come in at a cheaper rate and you can get a year or two out of him while you develop a young guy, that could be a situation that's very appealing to Goody and this Packers team. But I do think you're going to kind of see this team go back to its Ted Thompson roots and kind of have this 2020 draft class be the lifeblood of this team as it should be, really. But looking back to, we don't need to spend a ton of time on this. And if you want, over at Packer Report, I actually have report cards on this 2019 class. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Of course, these are just my opinions on this class. But 1 year in, Ross, what are some of the early returns or things that you're most excited about from this 2019?
I think you have to be really excited about Elgton Jenkins. I think you found a decade-long starter at an offensive line position. It's important to find those, especially ones that can pass block. I'm a little bit lower on Darnell Savage than pretty much everyone. I think there is promise, but at the same time, you know, we've seen safety as a pretty quick developing spot. For example, Marcus Williams of the Saints was extremely good as a rookie. Was probably better than Savage was. Safety is not necessarily a position where it's like, I don't worry about it until year three. You would like to see really high level safety play right away. Now, I'm not saying he's going to bust. I'm not saying he's never going to get better. I just feel like everybody already thinks that the kid's the second coming, and I just need to see a little bit more. Gary was disappointed with the pick. was actually honestly more optimistic than I thought I would be. I thought that was a whiff, and I think that there are more things to build off of than people are even willing to admit with Gary. And, you know, beyond that, there were some guys that I think will have the potential to work out. I, you know, my feelings on inside linebackers, I don't think they matter a ton. I think Ty Summers has as good a chance as anybody. Certainly, you know, with Jay Sternberger, I think you've got a long-term starter there as well. Kingsley Keke, I don't think I would ever want to start Kingsley Keke, but if he's your fourth or fifth defensive lineman, I think you're feeling real great.
I agree. Yeah, I think you kind of hit on everything that's important, and it's also important to note, like, obviously this is year one. A lot of these guys are just getting their feet wet as far as what their ability and what their potential is. You listen to Mike Smith talk about Rashawn Gary all year, and his love for him did not fade as this year went on. And Mike Smith is a very smart, very good coach. So I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to trust that he can develop the player that Rashawn Gary is. And they kind of let you behind the curtain a little bit with that draft pick when they talked about how they wouldn't have taken Gary if they did not sign Preston and Za'Darius, which tells you right there that they didn't think he was ready to play, and he didn't. So that one really is, it's kind of a head scratcher because you say, well, why didn't they take someone that could contribute right away? That's a great question. Don't know, don't have an answer, but they obviously love Rashawn Gary. So that's really the only tarnish I think you can put on Goody's second offseason in Green Bay. So I think the Packers are in great hands as far as what their executive department and their front office is going to do. Some other guys that I think are worth noting, and there are guys that I know are super well-respected in Green Bay, but I think they're also super well-respected around the NFL. And as far as, you know, generals and talent evaluator that Brian Gutekunst has surrounded himself with, I think these are two guys that have risen to the top as guys that Packers fans should really understand who they are and know what their names are. And that's Milt Hendrickson came over, a longtime buddy of Goody. He came over from Baltimore, where he, you know, spent all those years with Ozzie Newsome and that incredible scouting department that they have over in Baltimore. So he was a great get. He was one of the main reasons that the Packers were so confident and comfortable going out and signing Za'Darius. And another guy is John Eric Sullivan. He's been with the Packers for over a decade, but he's a young up-and-coming guy, has risen the ranks pretty quickly. So he's a guy that I think Packers fans need to be familiar with, and a guy that I'm not saying it's going to be a GM of another team within the next 3 years, but I think he's a guy that's done a lot of good stuff in Green Bay. So excited for the talent evaluators that Green Bay has, and they're obviously going to keep all of them, it would appear, this offseason after last offseason's kind of not mass exodus, but kind of, you know, with the change in structure. So the Packers just really, really appear to be in good hands this season, when, like I said earlier, was just a lot of fun to watch these guys kind of prove a lot of people wrong. So what year two has in store for them is yet to be seen, and year three for the scouting department and Goody. So that will be fun to watch unfold, and you can catch all that stuff right here on Pack-A-Day Podcast. We will keep you in the loop. We will keep you updated on everything that is Packers. Ross and I will be on in a couple weeks again, and until then, go Pack, go.
First and 10 from the 17 to San Francisco. Get Jones around the right end, gets a block, makes the turn, 10 to the 5, to the end zone! Second and 2, 6-yard line of Minnesota, tied at 7 apiece. Graham tight end right side of the line, 3 receivers punt to the left, Rodgers under center. It's motion to the right, here's the pitch, Jones around the left end. He's got Bakhtiari blocking in front, Jones makes the turn to the pylon, to the end zone for the touchdown. Second and short, get Jones, big hole, right side, 20, 15, 10, to the end zone, touchdown! Takes the snap, delay, hands it off, Jones up the middle with a burst, there he is, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, high stepping, end zone, touchdown! Packers aren't going anywhere today, they are here to play! 33-yard touchdown burst to match
the number on the jersey of Aaron Jones. Oh, my goodness, what a play.
Jimmy Graham wide to the right side. Three receivers bunched tight on the left. Aaron Jones on the left side of the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers in shotgun. Hand off Jones, picks his way off the right side, fights for the goal line, and did he get in? Yes, he did! Touchdown! Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff off the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first, 67 yards,